a little while. I won't forget, but I won't be lonely. I'll remember April and I'll smile. I won't forget, but I won't be lonely. I'll remember April and I'll smile. Courting the girls, I played me a waiting game. If a maid refused me with tossing curls, I let the old earth take a couple of whirls. And as time came around, she came my way. As time came around, she came. Oh, it's a long, long time from May to December. But the days grow short when you reach September. When the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, one hasn't got time for the waiting. Dwindle down to a precious few. September days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll spend with you. Precious days spend with you. These precious days I'll spend.
Hello, everybody. Someone, quick, look outside. Is the country in flames? Are the Republicans running around with pitchforks and burning torches? No, it looks the same as it did last night, right? After the crushing defeat for the Democratic Party, and God knows they need a crushing defeat, but after a crushing defeat yesterday, it was 60-40. Today, it's 59-41. Oh, my God. Actually, it's not 59. I wish they'd stop saying that. Joe Lieberman ought to be fired. Get out of here. Hey, why is it that the United States has its doors open to Haitian children now that their homeland has been devastated? But normally, when these little Haitian kids are scooped up by their aunties or uncles or parents and they make this treacherous cross to the United States, and they're caught, and they're shipped back home. And why is it that these little Haitian orphans now, being scooped up, taken to an entirely different society, something that they have never experienced, and adult Haitians can't come with them? All I see are these little black Haitian children being carried onto and off of transport planes by well-meaning, I'm sure, white people. White people who may or may not have any experience with the Haitian culture such as it is. I'm talking about the lifestyle there that includes the culture, what they're forced to deal with. So here come 50, 60, 100, I don't know, Haitian children. And it seems like there are all these white families across the country. I don't know that they're all white. Maybe there's some black families just drooling to get their hands on a Haitian baby. I guess that's a very generous thing to do, isn't it? But would it not make more sense? I may be wrong, but would it not make, maybe some of my listeners of color will be inclined to weigh in on this, send me an email. Would it not be better for these Haitian children that are being scooped up? Yes, they're orphans. Or that's what the authorities say. Nobody knows what's going on with these kids. But wouldn't it be better to leave them in the arms of a black auntie or a woman or man from Haiti who would be allowed into the country to care for these children? There are Haitian communities. There are 250,000 Haitians in the United States. So why are these children... I assume from the news reports, why are these children being sent into white homes with white families, with white neighbors, with a culture that is totally, totally, completely divorced from what the kids come from? Oh, sure, I know. They come from poverty and disease and life expectancy of 45. I understand that, but I'm talking about the overarching culture. They also come from, for the most part, don't they, from families that are loving, that are close-knit, that are extended. And now all of a sudden, the kids are alone. They're scooped up by well-meaning whites. How often does this happen? And how is it that when we had the disaster in New Orleans, even though the vast majority of the children there were African-American, I'm sure there were some white children who all of a sudden found themselves orphaned. Why were there no dark-skinned Africans showing up to say, here, we'll take these children over to Ghana or Nigeria or Kenya? You know, I'm a Kenyan doctor. I'm a Nigerian mechanic. We want to help these little white children. And while we're at it, when you're out and about, I don't care where you live, when you're out and about, how often do you see a white family, a white mom, a white dad, two white moms, two white dads, if they happen to be gay couples, and they have with them a dark-skinned baby, right? Bless their hearts. Bless their hearts. It's an Asian baby, Central American baby, an African baby, a Haitian baby, a Dominican baby. But they have this child. And bless the white folks' hearts for doing this. I'm serious. I'm serious. But on the other hand, how often do you see a black couple, a black man and woman, or two black women, or two black men, with a little white baby? Think now, how often do you see that? Eh? Right! Never. Why not? I don't know, maybe it happens somewhere in the United States of America, right? But check it out the next time you're out and about. Check it out. I mean, you very seldom see a black couple with an Asian baby. Why is that? Why is it that white folks, I don't know, is it written down somewhere? Is it in the Constitution? Has there been a Supreme Court ruling that only white adults are allowed to adopt children of color, but adults of color are not allowed to adopt or raise white babies? Where's that written down? But think about it for a minute. What would you do? What would you do if you're walking down the street and you see a black couple just dressed like you dress? Now, I'm assuming you're white. You black folks are listening right now. Stop listening for a minute. Or don't picture yourself in this. You can keep listening. But if you're a white couple, how do you dress when you go out, right? You put on a jeans and a black sweater and pull your hair back and, you know, you got those nasty shoes on and, you know, your underwear is probably all ripped and stuff, you know. So you go out and you've got your black baby with you and you're happy and you're proud and bless your heart for taking this child in. But reverse it. Supposing you see a black couple out there and the woman has on these nasty skin tight blue jeans and old nasty ass sweatshirt and her hair done up in something and them old grungy looking flip flops and she's got this little white baby. Now, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. If you see that in a store, you're going to run for the manager. Or you're going to get on your cell phone and dial 911. I'd like to report a kidnapping over here at Macy's Children's Department. This black couple has a white child, and the child looks distressed. Right? You know that's true. I'm just asking. I'm not trying to pull anybody's chain with the question. I'm just asking, right? So, if anybody has an answer as to why Haitian children are allowed to be scooped up by white rescue workers and bless their hearts for doing it, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just asking some questions. That's all. I'm just asking some questions. That's all I'm asking. It's questions, right? Questions. Come on. Just questions. I don't know. Maybe it happens all the time. Maybe when all those little Indonesian children wound up orphaned, all those kids from the Indian Ocean when the tsunami hit, you know, the ones that were left orphaned. Maybe there was a whole bunch of black folk that showed up, you know, with their arms out, taking these children in to raise them. I didn't see it, though. Maybe if it happened, maybe television didn't report that. It's just a question. I'm just asking. I'm just checking. Does anybody have an answer? If you do, send me an email because I would like to know the answer to that question. It's just something I was thinking about today. That's all. Just thinking about it. Thank goodness that the white aid workers are willing to do that. I mean, what's the alternative? Walk away? Leave the little Haitian baby and some roach-infested, spider-clotted encampment because her parents are dead and nobody cares about Haiti except to exploit the hell out of it for the past two centuries? Okay, it's a good thing. But I'm just asking about the other question. That's all. Just a question. We have a break here. We'll be back. Where's the music? Play the music, Kathy. There it is. Stay with us.
Well, I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again. I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend. You know, the first time I traveled out in the rain and snow, in the rain and snow. You know, the first time I traveled out in the rain and snow. In the rain and snow, I didn't have no pharaoh, not even no place to go. And my dear mother left me when I was quite young, when I was quite young. And my dear mother left me when.
Are you burdened with $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Struggling to get your life in order? Let us help by settling your debt. Imagine living a stress-free lifestyle that you deserve. If you are currently working and can afford making monthly payments, call our professionals today for a no-obligation analysis. Call 1-800-240-DEBT, 1-800-240-3328. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you owe it to yourself and your family. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-3328. The government is bailing out the banks. Now it's your turn. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt and are currently working but struggling to pay your bills, you may qualify for one of our partners' debt settlement programs. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-DEBT, 1-800-240-3328. Get your life back on track. You deserve it.
Hi, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. There are two sides to every story. Today, those who share Sarah Palin's hate-filled politics have the number one best-selling book in America to present their case, and Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, and Fox News to promote it. On the other side, our resources are a little less powerful, but we have a highly entertaining solution. If you want to show your opposition to everything that Sarah Palin stands for and enjoy, as the Huffington Post put it, a superb, engaging read from start to finish, we have just the book for you. Going Rouge. Sarah Palin, An American Nightmare, has been assembled by two senior editors at The Nation magazine. It includes the best, sassiest writing on Palin, bar none, including razor-sharp contributions by Naomi Klein, Katrina Vandenhuvel, Matt Taibbi, Eve Ensler, Frank Rich, Katha Pollitt, and Tom Frank. You can order it as a paperback or as an ebook from the link on my website, MikeMalloy.com. It makes a great holiday gift, too. So don't let the neocons have the tea party all to themselves. Get Going Rouge today at MikeMalloy.com.
From May to December, but the days grow short when you reach September. When the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, one hasn't got time for the waiting. days dwindle down to a precious few. September precious days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll spend.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. I spent a few minutes today looking at some of the news reports on MSNBC and CNN about last night's Senate race in Massachusetts and the result of that race. And it's fairly bizarre to watch. I don't go to Fox News because I don't want to get eye gonorrhea, which is what you get if you watch Fox. You'll get a bad discharge from your eye and you go to the doctor and they'll put you on penicillin. It's called the eye clap. So I don't watch them. And as far as, the Pig Man show or any of these, radio shows, no, thank you. No, thank you. I have such a tenuous grip on reality. Anyway, all I need to hear is some of this drivel, you know, I could start talking to the furniture. But, what's her name? Nora O'Donnell last night. I thought she was having an orgasm. Honest to God, it was like a scene. What was that movie When Harry Met Sally? When they're in the automat,
It was like a little diner.
A diner.
I don't think there are automats anymore.
Probably not. Although there damn well should be, but you know, I thought Nora O'Donnell at one point, after she was just puffing and panting about this glorious win. Maybe she had the guy Centerfold magazine in front of her while she was, just off camera while she was, I don't know, but I thought Nora O'Donnell, was just going orgasmic over this. And, you know, her face got all pale. Most women, their faces go flush, but Nora's face went pale. You could see it underneath her makeup, and it was kind of scary. Diane Sawyer today. It's these two women I'm focusing on. I watched a little bit of Morning Joe this morning until I thought I was going to have a morning a bathroom moment from watching these people. It was just, I mean, astonishing. You know, last night it was 60-40. Tonight it's 59-41. Woo! But anyway, not that I give a damn. I wish it were more 50-50. I wish it were 60-40 Republicans. Let's get the goddamn thing over with. Come on. Let's go. Anyway, Diane Sawyer was almost ecstatic tonight about Mr. Brown. I don't know if it was her lead story or if she spent a little time on the Haiti disaster. But when she got to the Brown story, I think it was the lead story. She was just, I thought she was another one, just about to rip her clothing off and scream for this guy to touch her. It was just unbelievable. Now, it's understandable. Diane Sawyer, you know, worked for Richard Nixon. She was hired by Ron Ziegler, Nixon's press secretary, who was sent out there to lie until Nixon finally made an ass of poor old Ron Ziegler in front of the entire press corps. But Diane left after Nixon resigned in dishonor and went out to California with him. And helped him write his memoirs that came out in 1978. She also helped Nixon prepare for his set of television interviews with David Frost back in 1977. So, you know, it's understandable about Diane Sawyer, very understandable. And in fact, if her politics were not hard right, she would not wind up as the big anchor for ABC News. But to watch some of these anchors and reporters, the White House correspondents for NBC and ABC, it's just like, oh my God, listen, boys and girls, hello, wake up, listen, this was a good thing last night as far as I'm concerned as a spectator to the Democratic Party, because this means that Obama, if he can come out of his stupor, which he apparently has, and he says he can't wait for Brown to get there so they can sit down and, you know, have a nice heart to heart. And he's going to continue to reach out to the Nazis for health care reform. He said that apparently it's an interview with Judas Stephanopoulos that'll be on Nightline tonight. They had little clips of it tonight on ABC Nightly News, or ABC, whatever the hell it is. But Obama is talking to Judas about how he's, you know, just going to move forward my ass. You're dead in the water, Mr. President. You're dead in the water. What you can do, though, is to gather up the progressives. We will save your ass. Not for your benefit. You're just another hack politician. Sorry, we bought the story. Change. Right. But we can save your ass. We really can. But you know what you're going to have to do, Mr. President? You're going to have to get serious about healthcare reform and stop the nonsense. That's what you're going to have to do. And you're going to have to come. First of all, what you need to do is get that son of a bitch Lieberman out of the Democratic caucus. Fire his ass. You know, drag Harry Reid in and say, get rid of him now. And then come around to the progressives, the independents and the Democrats, and maybe we'll pull your ass out of the fire. If not, been nice knowing you, Mr. First African American President.
For some fresh ice cubes, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on, turn me on.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-727-7838. That's 1-800-727-7838. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-727-7838. That's 1-800-727-7838.
Are you burdened with $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Struggling to get your life in order? Let us help by settling your debt. Imagine living a stress-free lifestyle that you deserve. If you are currently working and can afford making monthly payments, call our professionals today for a no-obligation analysis. Call 1-800-240-DEBT, 1-800-240-3328. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you owe it to yourself and your family. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-3328. The government is bailing out the banks. Now it's your turn. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt and are currently working but struggling to pay your bills, you may qualify for one of our partners' debt settlement programs. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-DEBT, 1-800-240-3328. Get your life back on track. You deserve it.
November told me it was so. A million dreams ago, you held me in your arms. A million dreams ago, so many dreams have flown, so many nights alone. I guess I should have known it couldn't be. I'll lock my memories here in my heart, and here in my heart they'll stay. And through the years they'll always be part, a part of a lovely day. Goodbye, good luck, old friend. I'll smile and just pretend there was no end a million dreams ago. Goodbye, good luck, old friend. I'll smile and just pretend there was no end a million dreams ago.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, we have a report card from Kay Petrini, our education affairs correspondent, coming up probably next hour. And if we can squeeze it in here, economics report from Prairie 2. Okay, I got a couple answers here about interracial adoption. This is from Public Enemy number one. Brother Malloy, first and foremost, you must understand white people are the saving grace of the other 90% of humanity, which happen to be of color, which translates into being savage, heathen-like, and ungodly. God apparently told white people that it is their burden to save those less fortunate than they are. This probably explains why the white people's got to save them lost little Haitian babies from a fate worse than death, i.e. being raised by those with whom they have commonality. Finally, the reason why the U.S. doesn't want Haitian adults over here is because the U.S. wants to expand its efforts of destroying the black family. They're doing a hell of a job on the blacks already here, but that's not good enough. It has to go international. Besides, why would you bring all those dark people over here with their HIV and diseases? The whole thought is just evil, not to mention terrorists. Public enemy number one. White people's got to save them lost little Haitian babies. All right, public enemy, thank you. This comes from really good quotes. Your comments on interracial adoption made me remember this particular piece. I used to write an internet newsletter, and this was sent in by a reader. Thought I'd share it with you. This comes from Sue in the UK. I was 30 before I was black. I always was black, I just wouldn't admit it. When I was growing up, black was not a good thing to be. I lived within a white family in a town with maybe 20 black people. Being black at best was to be a subject of pity. At worst, to be black was to be an object of hate. So I wasn't black, right. I wasn't colored or brown. I wasn't of color. And I wasn't an N-word or a Sambo or a savage. I wasn't one of them. I refused to acknowledge that I was any different from my white family. When the unthinkable happened, when the taunts drove me to acknowledge my color, I would pray, please God, make me white. Please God, make me the same as the people around me, the way a child will pray for a lost toy to be found. Complete faith that one morning I would wake up and my skin would be a cool, milky white complexion. For some reason, God never answered that prayer, so after a while I stopped asking and proceeded to build a world in my head where I was just the same as everyone else. You have to understand the time and the place. I grew up during the 60s in an overspill town north of Liverpool. Political correctness had not yet happened, and the love revolution did not extend to loving your colored brethren. This was a time that spawned a popular sitcom called Love Thy Neighbor. This was a program about the trials and comic situations that could arise if a black family moved next door to you. I loved that program. It was a very good portrayal of blacks in a white society. The jokes were funny because it was so real. One of the two black families who lived in our town, the Beniscos, lived about 500 yards up the road from my house, a well-respected, good Catholic family with lots of kids. I often heard mothers talking about how clean and well-turned out the children were. It's a pity they're so black. At least once a week, when I was too small to speak up, some kindly lady passing our garden would see a little black child playing and would do a good deed and return me to the Benesco household. After a while, Mrs. Benesco gave up explaining and would just wait till the next kind white lady had gone and then take me home. The other black family who, isn't that white? The other black family who I will not name had the reputation of being the biggest bunch of thieves and liars in town. I don't know if it was true, but I spent a lot of energy and anger pointing out to people that I didn't belong to that family. Pity or hate, my role models. Except I wasn't one of them. My family was white. The only blackness was my absent father. We were a white, working-class family, third-generation Irish immigrants who escaped the slums of Liverpool to live in a brand-new town. I had 22 cousins, and we were all white. When I was 30, I became black. It was a cathartic experience. It happened suddenly and is a whole story in itself. But I embraced my color, lifted up my head, faced the world, and got on with my life. I felt fortunate. I could laugh at my past, had no chip on my shoulder, and no illusions about my color. I dealt with insults and taunts, mostly without anger. I was able to use my experiences profitably with the young people I worked with, and was confident to be a voice against racism, until the 30th of March, 2004. And for the first time in about 38 years, I wished I was white. It wouldn't have happened if I'd been white. The child would not have shouted at me, "Nignog!" The parent would not have spat in my face. The parent would not have driven off and dragged me 50 feet. I would not feel so worthless. The physical injuries will pass. The being scared to go out alone, I will fight. But I can't find a way to get God to make me white. I don't really want to be white. I just wish being non-white wasn't such a big deal. Sue, UK. And then there's a picture of her here. And I have to tell you, I'm darker than she is. Wow. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Also down in Haiti, there is a Christian group called the Proclaimers. Is that what it is? The Proclaimers? Or no, they've come up with something called a Proclaimer. It's a shiny solar-powered talking Bible. A shiny solar-powered talking Bible. You know that radio we have that was made in South Africa with the solar panel on the top, the crank thing? Well, there's a Bible like that. Well, Bill in Ottawa writes, "Hi, guys. Imagine this scene, Mike. You're in your devastated town of Haiti. You are starving. Your wife is dead. Your kid has got two broken, infected legs. And then over the horizon, you see a convoy of aid trucks approaching. You're happy. Food, medicine. Then the door of the truck opens, and out gets some smiling Christian with a case of nice, shiny, solar-powered talking Bibles in three languages. Praise the Lord." And then he sends me the website. It's from the Christian Proclaimer website. It's called "A Ministry Tool Like No Other." It says, "We consider the Proclaimer to be a gift from God. Why? Because the inspiration for it came during 3 days of fasting and prayer by the entire staff of Faith Comes by Hearing. Faith Comes by Hearing. The Proclaimer is a digital player dedicated to playing God's word in the local heart language. See how it works. Order online." Can you eat these goddamn things? Is there any way to just break it down into its constituent parts and eat it?
The Proclaimer.
The Proclaimer. See, if you're starving to death in Haiti and everything's been wiped out, you really, really, in this Catholic country that's drifting Pentecostal, you really, really want to hear about Jesus in the wilderness or Adam begat this one, begat that one, begat this one. And therein lies, I don't know, food, I guess. I don't know.
Was this Pat Robertson's idea?
No, this is a whole different group. He's not the only psycho Christian out there.
I mean, does the Proclaimer spout phrases about, you know, reject the devil and
yeah, probably. Step?
I'd rather have a Tickle Me Elmo doll, wouldn't you?
Another question regarding the Senate contest last night between the white male Republican and the white female Democrat. Supposing, what was her name? Coakley. Supposing Mrs. Coakley, or Ms. Coakley, I don't know, supposing she would have posed nude in a magazine 28 years ago, do you think that everybody just would have wink, wink, nod, nodded? And supposing at her victory speech she would have stood up and offered her two daughters for whatever, you know, "They're available. My daughters are available." Gorilla Monk writes in, "Mike, I don't know if you caught any of the Scott Brown victory speech, but toward the end, after thanking his wife and daughters for their support, he said, quote, 'Just in case anybody was watching throughout the country, yes, they're both available,' end quote," referring to his daughters. I don't know. I don't even know how to react to that statement, but it just makes me very uncomfortable to see a father advertising his daughters on TV. Am I alone in thinking this guy has some serious issues when it comes to women?" No, probably not. Probably not at all. He'll be caught with his, thingy in the wrong place. You watch. He'll be another John Ensign. He'll be another Mark Sanford. He'll be another Bill Clinton. And then his poor wife and daughters will all stand up and go, "Well, we..." And this is from Sirius. "Mike, some thoughts on the Scott Brown victory speech. Mike, didn't see one single person of color, no, quote, Negroes, end quote, no Latinos, no Asians, no Native Americans, anywhere in Scott Brown's audience at his acceptance speech. It was all pink people, mean and angry pink people. So odd that the little church lady men and women repugs would elect a former porn star who posed naked in the pages of a magazine. Also very odd how slutty his daughters were dressed for the evening, well, for Christians, and that he would say, quote, 'My daughters are available,' end quote." Available for what? Maybe like in the Bible where fathers offered their daughters for companionship to traveling males for the night? I guess he's not the only one up for the highest bidder in his family. Yeah, that was one of those moments that I did see that, I guess, on the rerun. after we were off the air. And I was just shocked. I really was shocked. There's very little that that comes out of a Republican's mouth that will shock me. But that was very shocking. It was like watching spiders come out of his mouth or something.
So I'm at the airport waiting for my luggage when it hits me. I've been staring at the same conveyor for the last 15 hours. My luggage, gone, not coming. Now what? Well, I panicked a little, pulled out some hair and sort of kind of cried. But then I realized Geico helped me with my renter's insurance, so my personal property's protected. And since it's as low as $12 a month, I can afford a fancy wig, seeing as I pulled out a good bit of hair.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Truckers, we know you can't afford to waste time at a weigh station. That's why you need PrePass. With PrePass, highway sensors check your weight and certifications as you drive highway speed. If everything checks, a green light on your dash lets you know you keep on driving. Try it for free. We guarantee you're going to want PrePass along on every haul. Go to PrePass.com and enter the promo code FREE or call 888-452-PASS. That's 888-452-PASS. 888-452-7277.
Across the years will come to me, though my world may go awry, in my heart will ever just the echo of a sigh,
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour from Tony. Mike, I have a few ideas as to why you don't see black parents with adopted white babies. First and foremost, there aren't that many white babies to go around. White couples looking to adopt usually go for the white baby first. Two, there are, for reasons wholly attributable to socioeconomic reasons, a lot of minority children worldwide to adopt. Same reason probably goes to why you don't see black couples with obviously adopted children. Not many black couples can afford to adopt. And if they can, they are probably more likely to want to help the most in need. Chances are that would be a dark-skinned child. Of course, I'm sure that if a black couple actually did attempt to adopt a white baby, there would be a lot of awkward silence. I hate to say it, but that scenario doesn't have the same air of selflessness that comes with a white couple adopting a minority child, does it? I will say that once that baby, regardless of color, reaches 10 years of age, all bets are off. Those kids are in the most need and will 90% not be adopted by anyone. I know because I was there. Tony. And this is from Kay. Hi, Mike. On my way home, I caught you on the local LA AM station, and you were wondering if there were any POCs, people of color, that adopt white children. Your comments made me think about this Newsweek article I read a year ago. An upper-middle-class black family in Maryland adopted a white child who was supposedly born to a local prostitute. The child was in and out of white foster homes, but apparently those homes could not deal with the child's aggressive behavior. The black family took a chance on her and welcomed her with open arms. You can view the link here, and she gives me the hyperlink. I remember feeling incensed when the father stated that he would receive looks of suspicion in grocery stores of some white man, or some white man would come up and ask if the girl in front of him, "Are you all right?" It was that if I were that man, I would have told the nosy ones to blankety blankety. Yeah, that's pretty good, Kay. I believe the reason why you see more white people having transracial adoptions is all based on class and economics, and probably on some ignorant social dynamics thrown in as well. A white family could possibly offer a better lifestyle to that poor ethnic child, quote, quote. Plus, you have to wonder, what are the statistics for people of color interest in adoption? I do, however, have a family relative that lives in Maryland, by the way, we are black, that adopted one of her sons from Honduras. So you can count her as one of the black people that is apparent to someone of another ethnic background. Mike, I'm sure that there are POCs welcoming Haitian children into their homes. It's just not sexy enough for American media. Love the show, Kay. Thanks, Kay. But I would just appreciate everybody to answer that. I would just suggest if you want to do an interesting thought experiment sometime when you're out and about, or even when you're not out and about, just conjure up in your mind a picture of a black couple and a white baby or a white toddler. And the black couple are walking on either side of the white child, holding on to the little pudgy hands, and the kid is looking up, smiling at mom and then smiling at dad. And you're kind of hanging out, watching the scene. Now, this is only for whites. I don't think black folk would pay that much attention. Maybe so, I don't know. But if you're Caucasian and you're standing there getting ready to go into the grocery store or wherever you're going, and you see this scene, and here's this happy little kid, you know, holding on to mama's hand, holding on to daddy's hand. But whoops! Something's not right here, right? I mean, that's going to be the feeling, isn't it? You know it is. You know it is. And just like what Kay just wrote, you can just see some arrogant Caucasian walking up to that four-year-old and say, "Are you all right, honey? Where's your mama?" Kid looks up and says, "Right here." "No, your real mama." "Right here." "Where's your daddy?" "Over here." Ooh, why am I talking about this? This is one of those topics that go absolutely nowhere. You know it as well as I know it. Ain't never going to change. Ever, 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 ever. What else we got? Oh, yeah, President Obama. I love the way the New York Times puts it. This is for tomorrow's New York Times. With Democrats reeling from the Republican victory in the Massachusetts special Senate election, President Obama Wednesday signaled that he might be willing to set aside his goal of achieving near universal health coverage for all Americans in favor of a stripped down measure with bipartisan support. In an interview on ABC News scheduled for tonight, the president said, quote, "It's very important to look at the substance of this package and for the American people to understand that a lot of the fear-mongering around the bill isn't true. I would advise that we try to move quickly to coalesce around those elements of the package that people agree on." End quote. Mr. President, sir, I know you don't listen to this program, but on the outside chance that one of your flunkies does, and maybe the flunky will pass this on to you, there is nothing in the package, as you put it, that the neo-fascist Republicans are going to agree on at all. They want their grandmammies to die in rat and roach-infested rest homes because they couldn't afford to take care of them. They want to see their wives die of breast cancer. They want to feel that lump growing up somewhere deep inside their rectum until the doctor says, "Well, I'm sorry, you've got stage 100 prostate cancer. Your ass is almost dead anyway, so just make sure you pay your bill." No, that's what the right-wingers want, Mr. President. That's what they want. So you're not going to continue, are you? Mr. Obama, please, please stop. The white folks hate you. Don't you get that? Don't you understand what this is about? This is not about health insurance reform. This is not about bailing out the banks. This is because you're not white. Please.
I'm Felix. I've been doing tattoos for over 15 years. I get people in here who ask me about removing a tattoo they don't want anymore. I've really had nothing to help. And then I discovered Wrecking Balm. It's an easy daily fading system. The darkest, deepest pigments, they easily fade without any discoloring, blemishing, or scarring the skin. Wrecking Balm is really the best thing for tattoo regret.
Call right now, 1-800-507-4221. For your in-home 60-day risk-free trial, that's 1-800-507-4221. That's 1-800-507-4221.
Okay, that's $11.96. Whoa, what are you doing?
What? I'm giving you cash.
But you're pulling the little guy apart.
Oh, this? No, it's just the money I'm saving with Geico.
But he's the sack of money with the googly eyes. He has a face.
Yeah, but he's money. And now I'm spending it. Here, take a bill.
Oh, actually, that didn't seem to hurt him at all.
No, we do this all the time.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
To walk with you along the avenue, our hearts were carefree and gay. How could I know I'd lose you somewhere along the way? The friends we used to know would always smile hello. No love like our love they'd say. Then love slipped through our fingers somewhere along the way. I should forget, but with the loneliness of night I start remembering everything. You're gone and yet there's still a feeling deep inside that you will always be part of me. So now I look for you along the avenue, and as I wander, I pray that someday soon I'll find you somewhere along the way. That someday soon I'll find you somewhere along the way. Somewhere along the way. It's a blue world alone. My days and nights that once were filled with heaven, with you away, how empty they have grown. It's a blue world from now on. It's a through world for me. The sea, the sky, my heart and I were all an indigo hue. Without you, it's a blue, blue world. It's a blue world from the sea, the sky, my heart and I were all an indigo hue. Without you, it's a blue.
cigarette that bears a lipstick's traces, an airline ticket to romantic places, and still my heart has wings. These foolish things remind me of
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. A couple of quick emails here. Jim from Seattle writes, "Hi, Mike. Jim from Seattle here. Well, the party of the spineless is at it again. As in, oh my, we don't have 60 votes anymore. We can't do anything. We're so helpless because those big bad Republicans have 41 votes. Oh dear, what can we do? We can't do anything. It's too bad that Reagan stole the Democrats' spines. The jelly-bodied wonders in the Democratic Party forget that Reagan, Bush 1, and Bush 2 all rammed through all sorts of things that the country was opposed to, including, well, here's three of them. One, massive tax cuts for their wealthy and corporate buddies. Two, deregulating everything in sight, resulting in the SNL debacle, the trucking industry debacle, et cetera, and starting us on the path of financial debacle. Three, running massive budget deficits unheard of in history and putting the deficits on the backs of the workers of this country, and on and on and on. Yet not once did any of these three corporate-owned swine have even 57 votes in the Senate. Once they controlled 56 votes for 2 years, the remainder of the 20 years that these blanks were in power, they controlled only 50 to 54 votes in the Senate. Yet they managed to ram anything they wanted through and bring us to the brink. The spineless wonders in charge now are finishing the job they were sent to D.C. to do, finish the complete corporatization of this country. Will soon be required to bow down to whatever perceived center of the corporate universe they determine we are the servants of. Leo Strauss and his followers have achieved their dream. Jim in Seattle. Yeah, that's, you know, that's the part. It sickens me, too. That's why I wash my hands of this filthy Democratic Party. I really do. They have 57 Democrats. Now, somebody wrote to me last night, might have been Irish Dave. It might have been Prairie 2. I guess it was Prairie 2. Pointing out that some of those 57 Democrats are conservative Democrats. In other words, they're really would be Republicans, except for the fact that they couldn't unseat a Republican back in their home state, so they ran as a Democrat. That's not what Prairie 2 suggested, but that's, in my opinion, that would be the reason. Okay, so let's bring it down to 50. Let's bring it down to 51, 52 real Democrats. You know what I mean. Oh, my God, real Democrats. I just heard myself say that and almost tripped over my own tongue. I don't know what's a real Democrat anymore. But the whining and the complaining of Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, especially Harry Reid and the Democratic Party leadership, is just disgusting. I just wish they would shut the hell up. Just keep retiring. To the Democratic senators, it's up to you to stop this tide of fascism that's rolling across the country, and you're not doing your job. So why don't you rat bastards go ahead, finish up your time, get your goddamn pensions and your lifetime health care, and go to work as lobbyists. And, just scram. You know, maybe, possibly, maybe A real progressive party will start to be born out of the debris of the Democratic Party. And maybe, just maybe, possibly, things will turn around a generation or two from now. Although I doubt it. I'm serious. I think the attempt to run a democratic republic has ended. It was never very real to begin with. We've talked about this over and over. Which kind of brings me to Kate Petrini's report card, which we'll do a little bit later in the program, because that's what she's talking about. From Bobby, would it make sense to have the Democrats put a bill forward on health insurance reform with just one health care item, thus getting rid of the confusion, a one-page straightforward item, and letting the low-information voters see the Republicans either filibuster or vote it down? Is that a good idea? Then the next item could be brought forward with the strategy repeated. And if the bills were simple, other important issues could be worked on at the same time. Sure, yeah, Bobby. But the Democrats, that's a creative idea. There are a lot of us who have offered up creative ideas for the Democratic Party. They're not interested. They're Republican-like. They are, they're fooling us. You know, the Republicans are just flat-out corporate bastards, just sons of bitches and neo-fascists and Christian freaks to begin with. We know what they want. It's the Democrats that keep confusing us. It's like being a black person in the South 30, 40 years ago.
What do you mean by that?
Well, a black person in the South was pretty clear on the apartheid attitudes down here. Everybody knew their place. For black people, it was on the bottom of the heap. For white people, it was up on the top. Even some toothless son of a bitch who couldn't even talk proper English, if he were white, was placed higher on the totem pole than, you know, a Morehouse College graduate black male. You know, everybody knew this. So how did you survive if you were a black man? You lived within your own world. The world of your culture, or you got the hell out of here and let these white chumps do whatever they wanted to do. But in the North, a black person like, it was very difficult because in the North, you see, the liberal North, especially the Northeast, especially, Massachusetts, especially, Boston, right? Come on. You know, this is true. There is more racism in Boston than there was in Philadelphia, Mississippi. It's just in Philadelphia, and that's only because Boston's bigger. In Philadelphia, Mississippi, they just go ahead and murder people and bury them in an earthen dam. In Boston, they would beat up on black children because they wanted to go to a white school. You know, it was called busing. Remember that? Well, it's the same way with the Democratic Party. You know, we know Republicans are crazy sons of bitches who want to destroy America. We know that's true, and they're doing a good job of it. They want a fascist religious state here. But the Democrats, see, they're like the northern whites. You know, us progressives are kind of confused. Are you real? I mean, what? And then every time we turn around, these sons of bitches cut our legs out from under us every single time. That's why I'm not going there anymore. I've had enough. I've been to the well one too many times and come back with a bucket of dust. I've had enough. I had enough. You do whatever you damn well want to do. I've had enough. Chump bastards keep telling me they're Democrats and they're going to do this and going to do that. No, you're not. You're a lie is what you are. This is interesting. Blue Texan. He says the race for Ted Kennedy's Senate seat last night was won by Republican Scott Brown. This is a huge win for Obama and progressives. What? And Blue Texan writes, there are two big victories at work in Massachusetts. First, the Democrats in Congress now must recognize they will either lose without progressives or will win with progressives. Polls show that many progressives sat home instead of voting for Martha Coakley. Whoever thinks the country can't be made more progressive by sitting at home was proven wrong last night. I have said all along, Blue Texan writes, that the goal of activists must be to defeat Coakley. We did exactly what we set out to do, crush the establishment-backed Democratic candidate, thereby purifying the party. Mission accomplished. And make no mistake, despite the Beltway spin, we know for certain, based on statements from the local Democratic parties, that they chose Coakley based on advice from the Washington crowd instead of listening to the kind of people who sit at home during special elections. So, excuse me, we have demonstrated to the Democratic Party that it must not take progressives for granted. The Democrats spent millions on a weak candidate who wasn't left-wing enough. Had we had a true progressive, the Democrats would have held the seat. Now they have no choice but to give us everything we want, including free universal health care. Secondly, now President Obama is free to pursue the agenda he's wanted to all along. Now I can get the health care bill that he's wanted all along. For all intents and purposes, Massachusetts is a trial run for the 2010 midterms. If Robert Menendez and the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee do not want to see the midterms go the way of Massachusetts, they better take notice. We can totally take over the party by just staying home.
Dialogue so sad. If this were a movie plot, I wouldn't believe it. But if this were a movie, I could get up and leave it. Yeah, if this were a movie, I could get up and leave it.
Standing next to me is power sports fanatic Larry. He has a passion for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. His second passion is saving money, so he reuses everything, including food.
You make it sound gross.
He uses fast food grease to power his car.
Everything smells like fries.
And reuses toothpaste.
It's not good if you're squeamish.
But you don't have to be like Larry, because GEICO makes it easy by helping you save on power sports insurance. To see how much you could save, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-442-9253.
Hi, I'm your heart, and I gotta get something off our chest. It's about our cholesterol. And I'm not speaking just for me, because high cholesterol affects our whole body. So let's ask our doctor about garlic, okay? Garlic's clinically proven ingredient helps maintain healthy cholesterol naturally. That's why pharmacists recommend it most. And unlike other brands, you only have to take one garlic caplet a day, not five or six. Plus, it's tasteless and odor-free. So like I always say, eat right, exercise, garlic. Oh, and use as directed.
I used to walk with you along the avenue. Our hearts were carefree and gay. How could I know I'd lose you somewhere along the way? The friends we used to know would always smile hello. No love like our love, they'd say. Then love slipped through our fingers somewhere along the way. I should forget, but with the loneliness of night, I start remembering everything. You're gone, and yet there's still a feeling deep inside that you will always be part of me. So now I look for you along the avenue, and as I wander, I pray that someday soon I'll find you somewhere along. Someday soon I'll find you somewhere along the way. Somewhere along the way.
Hey, Truth Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour, it's the Malloy Show. Chris in New York writes, Mike, I'm a podcast subscriber and just heard the call last night from the trucker who was pissed off but did not know why. I think his name was Lawrence. Sadly, his case is typical. He should be pissed about the crushing of the unions, like trucking unions. He should be pissed about the Iraq War and general instability driving up gas prices. He should be pissed about Goldman Sachs speculating on gas, causing it to triple until that was made illegal. He should be pissed that we have spent 30 years letting the infrastructure and his highways rot while we gave enormous sums to the top 1% in this country. He should be pissed about trickle-down economics, but he doesn't seem to know that it was the sainted Ronald Reagan who started urinating on him. He should be incredibly pissed that we gave away our entire manufacturing base, so there's almost nothing left for him to truck around the country. But he's pissed off at cap and trade? I'd like to try to explain these things to people who are obviously this uninformed and or ignorant, but then I realize just how useless it would be. Thanks for raging against the insanity. Without your podcast, I would have long ago assumed that it was I who was insane and somehow Lawrence was right. Lawrence, if Mike reads this on the air and you are listening, make a start on improving things for yourself by getting a strong trucking union going, not by trying to cut emission standards. Emission controls are there so that your truck does not give my kids asthma. A union would simply make sure that you could afford to do it. But of course, Lawrence is not listening to this. That would involve using his brain, which is one thing most Americans will never do. Chris in New York. Yeah, that's funny. All the stuff that Lawrence could have been pissed off about, he was pissed off about cap and trade and didn't understand what the hell it meant. And that's the magic of right-wing radio. That's the magic of this putrid bastard Glenn Beck and this drug-abusing son-of-a-bitch Rush Limbaugh and this totally ignorant jerk Sean Hannity and the terminally obnoxious falafel-eating Bill O'Reilly. That's what these people do, is put this stuff out there that makes no sense. None whatsoever in the real world. But they force their brain-dead listeners to focus on a phrase, a meme, an expression. Cap and trade is bad. Cap and trade is bad. Cap and trade is bad. What is cap and trade? Oh, no, but it's bad. Do you know what it means? Yeah. What does it mean? It's when they, make me cut the emissions. Oh, my God. This is why Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly and Savage and Crazy Eye Michelle and all these people should be rounded up, sedated, taken to Bagram Air Base with hoods on their heads, stood up on a chair. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? This is from Alan. My couple of your callers last night shed some light on the problems with the electorate. They are uninformed about the issues. They don't have any idea what's in their best interest, but by God, they're mad. These are the useful idiots for the hardcore right, who knew exactly what they want, who know exactly what they want and where they want to take us, goose-stepping back to the 19th century. I have to think that the crazy woman of the North, Sarah 2012, is mentally measuring the White House for new drapes. If Massachusetts can send a nude centerfold to the Senate, any lunacy is possible. If I were religious, I'd say, God help us. As always, thanks for standing against the wing nuts, Alan. Oh, my God.
Alan needs a proclaimer.
He does. He needs a proclaimer. Oh, they captured another Glenn Beck listener today in Virginia. A guy who shot, is suspected of shooting and killing eight people yesterday, gave himself up. Spokesman for the Virginia State Police said, quote, the community can now know that they are safe until the next Glenn Beck psychopath goes crazy, end quote. The suspect, Christopher Spate, 39, was wearing a bulletproof vest, but had no weapons when he turned himself in, the authorities said. They were searching for the high-powered rifle believed to have been used in the shootings. The authorities said they didn't know the motive of the shootings. Well, it was very simple. He did exactly what Glenn Beck told him to do. Rush Limbaugh primes him, oils and greases him up, and then Beck just pushes him that last inch, and they pick up a high-powered weapon and go kill people. Horrific tragedy, said the superintendent of the state police. And the governor issued a statement. The governor's thoughts and prayers are with the victims and their families. Oh, my God. So another Glenn Beck listener, viewer, goes totally berserk and kills eight people. Get right with God. Yes, you know you got to get right with God.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe with monthly payments you can afford. Credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-9526. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-600-9526. That's 1-800-600-9526. 1-800-600-9526.
Geico's been around over 70 years, helping people save hundreds. But yesterday, I'm going through paperwork and I'm realising just how many ways Geico can save people money. Good driver discounts, defensive driver discounts, multi-car discounts, discounts for cars with airbags. And I don't mean having your mother-in-law in a passenger seat. Sorry, it's just a little car insurance humour. I think that joke's over 70 years old too.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Now, anywhere cough and cold strikes, Pure Robitussin Relief is ready to go anywhere you go. Introducing new Robitussin to Go. The cough and cold symptom relief you want in a neat little single dose spoon that goes anywhere. New Robitussin to Go. The medicine has already been dissolved, ready for your body to take in. Anytime, anywhere. New Robitussin to Go. Pure Robitussin Relief to Go.
Use as directed. Medicine works over time.
Without you,
It's a blue world alone. My days and nights that once were filled with heaven, with you away, how empty they have grown. It's a blue world from now on. It's a through world for me. The sea, the sky, my heart and I were all an indigo hue. Without you, it's a blue, blue world. It's a blue world from now on. It's a true world for me. The sea, the sky, my heart and I were all an indigo. Without you, it's a blue, blue world. Cigarette that bears a lipstick's traces, an airline ticket to romantic places, and still my heart has wings. These foolish things remind me of you. A tinkling piano in the next apartment, those stumbling words that told you what my heart meant.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour, and it's time once again for a missive from our educational affairs correspondent, Kate Petrini, her report card.
Your children well. Cause their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they
Kay writes. Hi, Mike. On Monday night's program, you did a lengthy riff on the misleading media coverage of the United States aid to Haiti. You said, quote, the lies about the United States are just astonishing. Shouldn't we at some point know the truth about our country? Shouldn't we get more honest about the glorious founders of the country who decided that only white male landowners would have this life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? Will there never be a time, end quote. Mike, in that one rant, you summed up the question I've been grappling with as of late, the one Bob Alexander gave voice to a few weeks back, which is, do we have any doubt that it's all a pack of lies? In U.S. history this week, we are finishing our unit on the Civil War. To wrap it up, I usually show the film Glory. For me, this is not simply an exercise in turning on the DVD player and checking out for the rest of the period, because Glory is a movie that requires the teacher's full attention. There are so many details that must be brought to the fore if students are to truly understand the story. My hope is that my students experience this movie differently from the way I did when it was first released 20 years ago. In 1989, I was only 6 years out of high school, and my head was filled with a version of American history that you correctly refer to as mythology. To me, Glory was a story about the good guys, the Union, fighting the villains, the Confederates. In my mind, everyone in the Union was like Colonel Robert Gould Shaw and his abolitionist parents. Back then, I couldn't see the authentic history that was right there on the big screen because I had bought into the childish narrative found in most American history textbooks. For example, I couldn't see the dripping racism displayed by many of the Union officers toward their own black troops. After all, I'd been taught that racism had only been a problem in the South, and that after the Civil Rights Movement, it had been fully resolved. I couldn't grasp that even after they were finally allowed to join the military, black soldiers were segregated. And I had no idea that this segregation had continued until after World War II. I couldn't comprehend the fact that to many white Union officers, the life of a white Confederate man or woman was worth more than that of an African-American Union soldier. Looking back, I asked myself how I could possibly have missed all that history. Had I been asleep in class? No. I was pretty good about paying attention in school and earning decent grades. Did I just not like history very much? No, my dad left a lasting impression on me by earning his degree in history when I was a child, and he and I always shared a passion for the subject. So, could my cluelessness really have been rooted in what I had not been taught by my history teachers and textbooks? I'm convinced of it. And what I hadn't learned about the Civil War, civil rights, and segregation had a corollary in almost every other area of American history, from the tales of the infallible founding fathers all the way through to the glorious reign of St. Ronald Reagan. To answer your question, Mike, I have no doubt any longer that the traditional narrative is a pack of lies. But I'm fortunate to work with colleagues who share a commitment to teaching what has been left out of textbooks. In fact, a group of us are going to see a presentation by Howard Zinn in a few weeks. I'd hazard a guess that most teachers and students of U.S. history are not so lucky, though, which means that for the foreseeable future, we will endure the daily teaching of American history by Limbaugh, Hannity, and all the others in the corporate media. P.S. Just a quick clarification. I don't mean to imply that I view the film Glory as being a completely accurate account of the 54th Massachusetts Regiment. I know that we are dealing with Hollywood there. That's why before we watch the movie, I have students look at primary source documents from that era. These include letters written by white Union soldiers complaining about the racism of their superiors toward their own African-American troops. I just want to clarify that I am not using the film as a standalone historical record, but as a way for students to visualize what they have already read about. My hope is that because they have become familiar with this history, which is usually not in the textbooks, they will be able to recognize it in the relevant parts of the film. K.
Teach your children well, 'cause their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams. The one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh.
It's about 20 minutes before the hour. One of our periodic emails from reports from the front lines in American education system, Kay Petrini. And while we're at it, let's move right over to Prairie 2. His subject tonight is a little normalcy. He writes, Fox News told the faithful that they got out the vote Tuesday that their 401ks would go up. Stocks went down today instead. It didn't have anything to do with the insurance companies, who stand to lose that 30 million of new suckers in captive market that the insurance reform bill was supposed to give them, but rather a hiccup in the economy of the superpower we are vassals to. China is having a real estate bubble and has put the brakes on home mortgage lending, requiring banks to hold 16% of their deposits in reserve. What a novel idea. Clinton and the Republicans did away entirely with bank reserve requirements for large banks here, and some Wall Street banks were operating 95 to 1 before the crash. That's about 1% in reserves. The big banks are now operating on trillions that they got free from the Fed, so the whole concept of reserve capital is right out the window. Compared to a couple of trillion, the $145 billion they're giving themselves in bonuses this year is chicken feed. So, with China watchers getting nervous, the markets worldwide are down, and the U.S. dollar is up. Since the markets have been pumped up by the Wall Street banks throwing around their newfound trillions, the U.S. dollar has been way down. This makes it look like they are showing record profits so they can give themselves record bonuses. You can't give yourself a huge bonus if you're showing record losses, which they would be showing if not for the market bubble creating all these profits. Profits that only exist on a computer screen and nowhere in the real world. If the U.S. dollar starts to strengthen too fast, then all the markets worldwide will suddenly have major liquidity problems as investors will need to make margin calls on their loans. The Fed's response to this so far is to keep interest rates at zero. China made a token increase in rates and has let it be known interest will go up. The question is, when will this dance with the devil end? China is trying to cool things off, but this will expose Wall Street's Ponzi scheme. And the longer it goes on, the worse the next bust will be. In good news, the U.S. Navy finally has a hospital ship within helicopter range of Haiti. One of the U.S. Navy reservist doctors brought along 1,500 stuffed animals for the children he will be doing amputations on. It will be a little bit of normalcy for the kids. Just like being back at work, where they get 20 cents an hour making the toys for Disney. Pray too. You know, I'm sure Prairie 2 has explained this before, but his line in here, the Fed's response on this so far is to keep interest rates at zero. The banks are getting all this money for nothing. Have you noticed what your if you have a CD, short or long term? I was in our credit union the other day. Well, no, I was. We have our business account in an honest to God bank, which I hate. But I was in there the other day, and I noticed this in the credit union too, as a matter of fact. But if you buy like a 2 or 3 or 4 year certificate of deposit, I think your interest rate is all the way up to 2.2% or 1.5%. That's what the banks pay you. Now, the banks are getting their money for zero interest. So if you have a question as to how they can pay themselves $145 billion in bonuses, maybe that's where? No, I should leave all that up to Prairie, too. I'm not that smart. But have you noticed that? Have you noticed the interest that you're being paid on your savings account or your CD? And if some banks I know pay interest on checking account, they pay interest. Yeah, they pay you 1.5%. And God help you if you have a check go overdraft. You know, if you have $86.50 in your account and you write a check for $86.60, you're going to wind up paying somewhere around $50 in bad check charge, right? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. You play the kids are on the MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a blister on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your thumb. We got some.
Now, anywhere cough and cold strikes, Pure Robitussin Relief is ready to go anywhere you go. Introducing new Robitussin to Go. The cough and cold symptom relief you want in a neat little single dose spoon that goes anywhere. New Robitussin to Go. The medicine has already been dissolved, ready for your body to take in. Anytime, anywhere. New Robitussin to Go. Pure Robitussin Relief to Go.
Use as directed. Medicine works over time.
With me today is motorcycle owner Dan. Like most people, Dan is looking for ways to save money. He tries to save on gas by roller skating to the grocery store.
It's hard carrying all those bags.
He uses a hand crank radio.
It's a good workout.
And he even cooks by candle heat.
The scented ones give great flavor.
But you don't have to be like Dan, because GEICO makes it easy to save on motorcycle insurance. To see how much you could save, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-442-9253.
It's a blue world, alone.
Loud, proud, progressive talk. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. The Brady campaign, remember the Brady Bill? Remember Ronald Reagan's press secretary who was gunned down when Reagan was? Jim Brady. The Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence endorsed Barack Obama in 2008, but its current president, Paul Helmke, said this year the president, quote, ran away from the issue, end quote. That's according to TheHill.com. And for that reason, the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence has given Obama an F for what it calls his failure to take significant steps to advance gun control laws. He got an F on every issue that the Brady campaign scored. The group criticized Obama for signing legislation that contained amendments that repealed laws banning guns in national parks and on Amtrak trains. Yeah, that's what Obama did. Paul Helmke, the president of the Brady campaign, said the Obama administration still hasn't reached out to the Brady campaign, but he doesn't expect the White House to do so anytime soon. Yeah. What is Obama? Obama, he had 50, he had 59 votes at the time, or did he have 60? I don't know what he had, but wouldn't even veto a bill that removed the restriction. Amendments in the bill says, oh, it's okay to take your gun on an Amtrak train. Goddamn right. Inside a national park? Why, sure. Hell, you never know when some crazed colored might come up and try to steal your marshmallows, you know? Jesus, God. Way to go, Mr. President. Way to go. There's a new professional basketball league that says its players are going to be exclusively white Americans. It's called the All-American Basketball Alliance. Sound Nazi, doesn't it? That word alliance makes it sound real Nazi. It announced in a news release Sunday evening that it intends to start with 12 cities that will have a team. They're targeting Augusta, Georgia, over here on the coast between Georgia and South Carolina. The statement said, quote, only players that are natural-born United States citizens with both parents of Caucasian race are eligible to play in the league, end quote. How about that? Clint Bryant, athletic director at Augusta State University, laughed when he heard the news. He said, quote, it's so absurd, it's funny, but it gives you an idea of the sickness in this society. It shows you what lengths people will go just to be mean-spirited. I think any basketball, at any basketball level, no matter if it's all black, all white, all Hispanic, all Asian, or anyone else, the players should just be a basketball team. Now, the commissioner of the All-American Basketball Alliance, some freak named Don Moose Lewis, said the reasoning behind the roster restrictions is not racism. Oh, hell no, it ain't racism. He said, quote, there's nothing hatred about what we're doing. I don't hate people. I don't hate anyone of color. But people of white American-born citizens are in the minority now. Really? Here's a league for white players to play fundamental basketball, which they like. Moose said he wants to emphasize fundamental basketball instead of street ball, which is played by people of color. He pointed out recent incidents in the NBA, including Gilbert Arenas' indefinite suspension after bringing guns in the Washington Wizards locker room. Moose said, quote, would you want to go to the game and worry about a player flipping you off or attacking you in the stands or grabbing their crotch? That's the culture today. And in a free country, we should have the right to move ourselves in a better direction. And this is another one of these son of bitches who would tell you in an instant that he wants guns on Amtrak or in national parks. But just because Gilbert Arenas has an unloaded gun and gets into it with some of his brothers playing poker or whatever the hell they were doing, this cracker son of a bitch is going to say, well, do you want them up there in their stand grabbing their crotch? You son of a bitch. Now, this league is based here in Atlanta. Oh, my God. It will operate as a single entity owning all of its teams, and it's looking for local contacts to pay $10,000 to become a licensee in one of 12 cities throughout the Southeast. Moose said he'd already received threats from people opposed to the roster restrictions, and several cities have told him to stay out of town. He said, quote, people come out and support a product they can identify with. I'm the spoken minority right now, but if people give us a chance, it'll work. The white game of basketball, which is essentially a fundamental game, works. Can you goddamn believe this? The All-American Basketball Alliance. Natural-born United States citizens with both parents of Caucasian race are eligible to play. And there won't be no goddamn crotch grabbing either. And you know what? When they get off the court, our boys will wear the drawers up around their waist where they belong, not down around their bottom part of their asses there like these here colored boys do. We know how to do it. I ain't racist. I'm just saying. You goddamn believe this. Look who gets Ted Kennedy's seat. And now we have the All-American Basketball League. Yeah. How about them boys that took them guns into the locker room? Well, you dumb son of a bitch. Aren't you advocating for guns all over the place? You want them in church? You want them in your Girl Scout, your kids' Girl Scout troop? You want to be able to carry one concealed in your buttocks? You want guns all over the place? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. But you don't want colored folk to carry them, right? Oh, my God. The all-white, native-born basketball league. Get ready for it because... It's this sort of thing that's coming to a town near you, Truth Seeker.
Geico's been around over 70 years, helping people save hundreds. But yesterday, I'm going through paperwork and I'm realising just how many ways Geico can save people money. Good driver discounts, defensive driver discounts, multi-car discounts, discounts for cars with airbags. And I don't mean having your mother-in-law in a passenger seat. Sorry, it's just a little car insurance humour. I think that joke's over 70 years old, too.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm Felix. I've been doing tattoos for over 15 years. I get people in here who ask me about removing a tattoo they don't want anymore. I've really had nothing to help. And then I discovered Wrecking Balm. It's an easy daily fading system. The darkest, deepest pigments, they easily fade without any discoloring, blemishing, or scarring the skin. Wrecking Balm is really the best thing for tattoo regret.
Call right now, 1-800-507-4221. For your in-home 60-day risk-free trial, that's 1-800-507-4221. That's 1-800-507-4221.
Nós merecemos os beijos do lado dos carros amassados. Olho na lua de barro, não ache que sombra é sonho. Pirata do lado do lamaçal.
ki baka, o wi baka e, o wi baki baka, o wi baka e, o wi baki baka. Aurora vem com vento por cima do Oriente. Aurora vem com vento por cima do Oriente. Os marujos correm linha pela direita, marcha em frente. Pela direita, marcha em frente. O Ipacaê, o Ipaque Ipaca. Embarca, embarca, embarca. A vida dos marinheiros que andam de um lado a outro. A vida dos marinheiros que andam de um lado a outro. Não se encontram em Olinda, nem na cidade do Porto. Nem na cidade do Porto. Oh, we back aí, oh, we back in back. É hora da despedida, eu vou para o mar, eu vou. É hora da despedida, eu vou para o mar, eu vou. Deixo um caminho de flores pra cada um dos meus amores. Pra cada um dos meus amores.
Thank you.
sol vive sem amor. Eu não...
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. What's this? There's a video from CBS News showing Haitians being shot by UN troops. Haitians looking for food, looking for work. After the tsunami in South Asia, local people were hired to clean up debris. When Haitian men went to an airport looking for work, they were shot at with rubber bullets. Yeah, well, they're Haitians. Guess who's coming to breakfast? According to politicsdaily.com, the breakfast in question is that high-profile national prayer breakfast set for February 4th at the Washington Hilton Ballroom. The national prayer breakfast has been held since 1953. It's a don't-miss appointment for any politician hoping to shine up his ass as a person of faith, right? In Politics Daily says, in recent years, the breakfast, which is attended by some 3,500 Beltway denizens and is officially hosted by members of Congress, it has been organized by this secret network of psychopaths called The Family. You know, the book that's out there right now about The Family. John Ensign was part of The Family. Governor Mark Sanford, part of The Family. They believe in banging any woman that they happen to see who is not their wife. And when they're caught, they can hide behind Jesus's dress or robe and say, well, you know. Well, guess who's going to be, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will be there, and President Obama will be there. Obama spoke at the breakfast last year. He's expected to be there this year also, with his Christian allies in the United States. But one of the guests is going to be David Bahati. He's the Ugandan member of parliament with very close ties to these conservative Christian Nazis who sponsor the annual breakfast. He is the one, he's been cited as the inspiration for the anti-homosexuality bill in Uganda, also known as the Kill the Gays Bill, because of its criminal penalties regarding homosexual acts, including life imprisonment and the death penalty. So Barack Obama will be there, and David Bahati will be there. Huh? Good Lord. All of the big guns from the Democratic and Republican Party. A lot of people, myself included, make disparaging remarks about members of Congress kowtowing to the Israeli lobby, which they do. There's no question about that. But it's even worse the way they drop their heads and fall down on their knees before the Christian lobby in this country. And you know what I mean by the Christian lobby. I'm not talking about people who believe in the works and the life of Jesus. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Christian lobby. It is much worse and much bloodier than the Jewish lobby could ever hope to be. The Israelis only take sport in developing their apartheid state in one country, Israel, where they continue to wreak absolute damage against their Semitic brothers and sisters. And they don't give a goddamn. They couldn't care less because they are Israelis. They are chosen by God. The Palestinians are not even a people, right? That's the attitude. The Christians, on the other hand, have been slaughtering and making war for, oh, I don't know, pick a number, 1,800 years, destroying cultures, blowing up entire cities with nuclear bombs, slaughtering, killing, beating, raping, torturing. So anytime you want to bust up on the Israelis, which I do periodically because of their horrid policies against Palestinians, pause for a second after you've busted up on the Israelis and think about what your Christian brothers and sisters are doing 24/7, 365. It never stops with these suckers. Never. Never. And the Christians have the Jews in their sights anyway. You know, on that great getting up morning, when the pile of bodies has been so massive that Jesus will come slaloming down, slaloming, well, you try to say it, slaloming down a big pile of crushed bodies, here comes Jesus, to these people. Jesus, the real Jesus, if he ever existed, would be off in the corner vomiting about these rat bastards. But to these people, you know, come slaloming down the pile of bodies, and immediately give the Jews 30 seconds to convert to Christianity. And if they don't, the next sound you hear will be necks being sliced open by the good Christians who said, "We gave you a chance, God damn it! We did back in the Inquisition. You didn't listen then. How about now, sucker?" Great fun, religion, right? So here they are. They're all going to get together. I wonder if there'll be any Jews at the prayer breakfast. Is that strictly Christian? Will there be a couple of Muslims there? Handful of Jews, token Muslims, and this great clutch of mouth-breathing Christians. And I just wonder if how many of them will want to have their picture taken with the David Bahati, the one who came up with the novel idea of butchering gay people in Uganda. Thanks to a bunch of white Americans who went over and said, "Listen, you ought to be butchering gay people over here. I mean, goddamn, they're queer, man. Come on." This is sick. I mean, it is just sick. But they'll all be there. Yeah, they will. As far as Barack Obama attending this thing, what's up with that? I mean, what's up with that, right? Mr. President, when are you going to wake up and smell the opium? Are you out of your freaking mind? You're still talking about bipartisan effort to do health insurance reform? Oh, please, come on. It's one thing to, you know, want to please everybody. I realize you were brought up biculturally. You've lived all over the place. You had different flavors of parents and all sorts of stuff, which tends, I guess, I don't know, to make one just like, okay, got to please this group today, got to please that group tomorrow, got to please that group over in the corner next week. How about these people up in the balcony? Yeah, I got to please them, got to please them, got to please everybody. Lord, help me, help me. But that was then, Mr. President. Come on. Everybody outgrows their burdens, don't we? I mean, we all outgrow the weirdness put on us by our parents. We either use therapy or drugs or both, or, you know, we all have weird parents, right? Even you, Mr. President. You know, your old man left you, right? That happens a lot. And you got to deal with, you know, white mama, black daddy, grandparents white. Oh, Lord, what am I? Okay. Get over it. Get over it. Got a secret for you. Newsflash. Nobody cares about what kind of dance you're doing. Nobody gives a damn, Mr. President. What they want to do is cut your heart out. Literally. Come on, Prez. Wake up. Wake up, Mr. President. Come on. Come on. Wake up. Come on, stand up on your hind legs and start kicking ass and taking names. These suckers will cut your throat. They're just like the Christians' plan for the Jews. Come on, Mr. President, wake up. Stop this nonsense. Stop this nonsense. Are you serious? Come on. These people want you dead. They want you gone. They don't like you because of your skin color. Come on, Mr. President, wake up. Don't go to this prayer breakfast. Bull. Come on, Mr. President. No more bipartisan. Come on, Mr. President. Come on, all right?
I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's not all that glitter is gold. After the story had never been told. And now you see the light. You stand up for your right.
More frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-727-7838. That's 1-800-727-7838. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-727-7838. That's 1-800-727-7838.
Hi, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. There are two sides to every story. Today, those who share Sarah Palin's hate-filled politics have the number one best-selling book in America to present their case, and Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, and Fox News to promote it. On the other side, our resources are a little less powerful, but we have a highly entertaining solution. If you want to show your opposition to everything that Sarah Palin stands for and enjoy, as the Huffington Post put it, a superb, engaging read from start to finish, we have just the book for you. Going Rouge. Sarah Palin, An American Nightmare, has been assembled by two senior editors at The Nation magazine. It includes the best, sassiest writing on Palin, bar none, including razor-sharp contributions by Naomi Klein, Katrina Vandenhuvel, Matt Taibbi, Eve Ensler, Frank Rich, Katha Pollitt, and Tom Frank. You can order it as a paperback or as an ebook from the link on my website, MikeMalloy.com. It makes a great holiday gift, too. So don't let the neocons have the Tea Party all to themselves. Get Going Rouge today at MikeMalloy.com.
Viu dessa? Que todos querem, mas tem medo, tem receio de ser dono dela. Dizem que ela tem um dote físico e financeiro invejável. Quero ver. Viu dessa? Que todos querem, mas tem medo, tem receio de ser dono dela. Dizem que ela tem um dote físico e financeiro invejável. Eu quero ver o namorado da viúva passou por aqui. Namorado da viúva, 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 namorado da viúva.
eastern world, it is exploding.
Better stand back. Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
But not for voting. You don't believe in war. But what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on.
21 past the hour. We have a couple open lines here if you want to chat. 877-996-2556. Amy in Minneapolis writes, Mike, do these white basketball players have to be heterosexual and Christians too? Amy, you're being real cynical there, aren't you, huh? Oh, man. David is in Pittsburgh listening online. Hey, David.
Hey. Hey, Mike. I'm a leftist, and I am really not going to call here and lick your boots, but...
Well, good.
I hope that's good. You'll probably end up calling me names before this call's over, but...
Well, that's up to you.
Yeah, well, that's up to you. And...
Why would I call you names?
Know, well, I really, as a leftist, all I have is honesty and not make-believe, you know?
And what's that got to do with me?
Well, you know, I left Obama over these... Over these wars.
Now wait, what's that got to do with me? If you're a leftist, what's that got to do with me? What do you? I mean, where are you going here?
Well, I can go in a lot of directions, but I just like to say that's why I left Obama because.
Well, no, wait. Why do you think I'm going to call you names and hang up on you? I don't. I'm still stuck on that part, David. You're going to have to back up and tell me why you think I'm going to do that.
Well, okay, I'm almost afraid to start with you, but here goes. Go down to the county family division.
What?
If you would go to the family division of the county I live in,
yeah,
you would see a lot of black women and children, a lot of white women with black children, and they're there for relief because they're not being... taken care of by, and you said, you know, well, they're not taking care of their own. That for one thing, I know you don't like that, but that's just honest. That's a fact.
Well, no, wait a minute. What don't I like?
Well, the fact that some, you know, the black community, you said, why don't they adopt black children? Yeah. This is not my main topic, but that why they don't, yeah. They don't even take care of their own family. Not all of them. I'm just saying.
Now, wait a minute, David. How do you know this? Are you black?
Well, I could down. To
no, no, wait. One at a time. Wait a minute. Are you black?
No.
Okay. Have you ever worked inside a black family? Have you ever been a butler for a black family? Yes or no?
Oh, come on.
Yes or no?
No.
Okay. Have you ever cleaned a black person's house and taken care of their grandmother? Yes or no?
I've worked.
No. Have you ever worked as a domestic inside a black person's house? Come on, William. Come on. David. Come on. Have you ever worked?
I'm not prejudiced. Have you? I'm just trying to be honest.
God damn. Have you ever worked for a black family as, cleaning up their mess?
No, I'm a racist. Oh, my.
David, just answer the question.
Please.
Come on, man. Don't be having conversations with yourself. They're going to come out and put
you
away.
I'm trying to have a conversation with you.
David, why are you saying this about the black family? I'm trying to figure out. I'm going to put you on hold because you're acting like a damn fool. I think we've established you don't know anything about what goes on inside a black family. You don't know anything about the struggle that people of color and white poor people have in this country. You don't have an idea. You sound uneducated, so I would assume that you probably come from a low income family yourself. You've probably felt an awful lot of bigotry, an awful lot of ass kicking directed in your direction. Because of your ignorance. And, that's sad. I mean, I feel sorry for you, brother, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to hang up on you because, you're not very entertaining. And, I don't know.
You're just a little bit too weird for me tonight, if you know what I'm saying, all right? Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what you can do, though. If you really want to comment on black families, go get yourself some black friends. It's real obvious you don't have any. If they'll have you, I don't know how you're going to do this. But if you could, go get some black friends and spend about 10 years listening to what they have to say. Don't talk. Don't talk. I mean, just shut up and listen. You know, black folk been listening to you all your life, right? Right? You know what I'm talking about. Come on, David. You know, Fred or Frank, whatever. What was his name? I don't know. But just shut up and listen for 10 years. Keep your mouth shut and your ears open and keep your eyes open. Watch every move that's made, every word that's said. Watch and learn about the pressures put on the black family. Watch and learn about, if you're caught stealing a loaf of bread at the 7-Eleven, you're probably going to get a fine, 10 days in jail, and your black counterpart's going to go to prison for probably 1 to 5. Try to educate yourself. I'll tell you what, never mind.
I was born like this. I had no choice. I was born with the gift of a golden voice and 27 angels from the great beyond. They tied me to this table right here in the Tower of Song. So you can stick.
Hi, I'm your heart, and I gotta get something off our chest. It's about our cholesterol. And I'm not speaking just for me, because high cholesterol affects our whole body. So let's ask our doctor about garlic, okay? Garlic's clinically proven ingredient helps maintain healthy cholesterol naturally. That's why pharmacists recommend it most. And unlike other brands, you only have to take one garlic caplet a day, not 5 or 6. Plus, it's tasteless and odor-free. So like they always say, eat right, exercise, garlic. Oh, and use as directed.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. This winter, you can take control of your home heating bills with the Eden Pure Quartz Infrared Heater.
I saved about $160 a month using the Eden Pure.
We all know energy prices are only going to go up, so please call us right now. The Eden Pure represents a major opportunity for you to take control of your home heating bills.
It's just a constant warm heat that stays on all the time, and it doesn't go hot and cold, and you save money.
Now you can save up to $102 and have an Eden Pure delivered to your home for only $39. That's right. We'll ship you a brand new model for $39. After that, simply make your 4 remaining monthly payments while enjoying the soft, even heat from your Eden Pure.
Call 800-603-8924. If you're not completely satisfied, you can return the Eden Pure and receive your money back, and we'll even cover your shipping and handling. Call 800-603-8924. Once again, 800-603-8924 to take control of your heating bills with Eden Pure. Operators are standing by, so call now.
Oh,
fazer, além de cuidar neném, além de fazer.
Hey, truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour, John is in Mission Hills, California, listening to KTOK. Hey, John.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, I know Tweedledee and Tweedledum, we got one party with two wings. One pretends they're in favor of us, and the other one is obviously opposed to us. It has always been thus, and I guess it always will be.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just, you know, it's just totally hopeless. This thing, that this interview tonight with Stephanopoulos.
Did you watch it?
It's appalling. This guy, he just got his ass kicked, and he's still trying to beg these people to go along with it. It's disgusting.
Right, right. Well, when he says he's going to reach out on he hopes he can get his health reform thing passed, and he may have to switch it around a little bit more and a little bit more, a little bit more, until it's exactly what the Republicans want. And then he'll reach out to the Republicans and they will help him. What they'll help him with is when he finally pares it down to where the 1,000 pages is down to one page and the page is blank. And then at that point, these creepy, freaked out, roach-infested Republicans will say, okay, we're gonna bipartisan. And as far as the centerfold boy is concerned, who won the election in Massachusetts yesterday, is Mr. President Obama completely tone deaf, if not tone deaf, completely literally deaf, that he didn't hear what this jerkwad was talking about, what he's coming to Washington to do? Mr. President Obama, is there anybody in your inner circle? Is there anybody in your extended family? How about Michelle? Is there somebody who will take you aside where there are no cameras, no microphones, and nobody around and just say, Barack, you're going to have to kick these people's asses, all of them. When are you going to become the president that a lot of people thought you were going to become? I mean, is that going to happen? Or do you want to lose another one? You know, you lost Virginia, you lost New Jersey, you lost Massachusetts. Because of your compromising, half-assed, cowardly attempt to deal with sociopaths. What is wrong with you, Mr. President Obama? Is there nobody who can sit you down and just, I've got a couple of people I know who would talk to you. Dr. Sachs would love to talk to you. He's a musician. He plays with the Count Basie Orchestra. And he's written me a couple of emails that pretty much straightens things out. Donald over in Augusta, Georgia, and he's got some ideas too. Darren. Where's Darren? Where in the hell is Darren at now? You might be able to talk with these people, Mr. President Obama, because in the first place, they're not Caucasians. So you don't have to be on guard. You know, they pretty much look like you. And maybe if the reason I'm saying that is because I know you reach out. I know you're trying to do this and trying to do that. I know you have white people in your family. I understand. I really do. But listen, the white people you're dealing with, this is not your mom and them. This is some real evil sons of bitches who want you gone one way or to other
for real, Mr. President. So maybe if you sat down with, how you folks say it, a couple of brothers, how's that? Is that good? If you sat down with a couple of brothers who would say to you, Mr. President, you have got to wake up. This is not, you're not dealing with the other folks working on Harvard Law Review. Really, you're not. I mean, this is not your graduating class. Yo, Mr. President, these people are out to cut your throat. Please, stop this. Carl is in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Hello, Carl.
How you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm staggering through it all.
Look, I would like to talk. I'm a nice way of saying I'm a liberal, but in the South, you have to say progressive. But I would like to know what the Democratic Party, Mike, are they now just an extension of the Republican Party, the moderate Republican Party?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, they are.
I'm a union member. I'm a United Steel worker, and I work in a paper mill.
Right.
And I always felt the Democratic Party was for the working man, for the unions, and social issues.
Used to be, Carl. Used to be.
But what? Where do we stand, Mike? When we put our hearts in electing the president, so all this change, and we're going to just and he's done. He got Emmanuel up there. I think that was going to be his bad guy, you know, his bulldog.
Hmm.
And we could turn him loose. Where have we gone? And then you get the Republicans can get an idiot like Sarah Palin, and people just flock to him. Like, where is this country going? What are we going to do?
Carl, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, it's like screaming in the dark, Mike, where you just look and say, well, you know, I'm kind of the old tradition. I want my gold watch in my few years and retire and do that. But they've taken everything away from us, and you can't blame everything on Obama, because let's face it, Bush got a pass. You know what I'm saying?
He did.
Called back at us to Texas, and everybody forgets about him. But then again, the Democrat, getting back to the subject, I could get off of task a little bit, that the Republicans can say, do, and justify anything, but it seems like the Democrats won't stand up and get in their face and say, look, you're a bunch of liars. Instead of saying, oh, well, you know, it's just like, for example, O'Brien in Massachusetts. If there had been a Democrat who posed in this magazine, oh, Lord, you'd never hear the damn end of it. And then you got, you know, but the governor of South Carolina, they're still hanging around. You know, how do you combat this? Or what do you do as a person who cares about America? What are your allegiance stand?
It's, you're asking the questions that I ask all the time, Carl. And if you've listened to this program on a regular basis, you know that, I don't have any answers and I don't claim to have. I don't know what's happening. I was brought up probably the same as you. I mean, given the fact that I'm probably considerably older than you, and I was brought up in Ohio and not North Carolina, but, probably about the same, working class. Watching parents struggle to try to make ends meet, yada 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 yada. But in my generation, when we were kids growing up in the 50s, you know, there was always the promise that other generations of Americans had perpetrated forward, had paid forward, and that was go ahead and work. I don't care if you're black or white on this one. Go ahead and work, struggle. Keep your head down, stay in school, do this, do that, and you will wind up better than me. You will wind up with a better paying job. You will wind up with more education. I come from a generation where the vast most of the people in my generation had parents who hadn't gone on beyond secondary school. My father happened to have gone to university. My mother had not. But most of the kids that I grew up with, their parents were not. You know, they weren't, high school was it if they got through high school. which didn't mean a whole lot back then because you could get a good job, and that's what it was all about in America, become a member of the union, put in your 25 or your 35 or your 40 and get out and enjoy the rest of your life if you could, if you hadn't sucked up too much radiation or too many asbestos particles or too much dust from a textile mill or what have you. So, Carl, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what's happened except, you know, the capitalists decided that they weren't making enough money. When they were making 30 times what the guy on the shop floor made, that was not enough. They had to have it at 50 times, then 100 times, then 200, and then 400, and now it's approaching 10,000 times what the guy on the shop floor makes. I mean, the real elite in this country. So, you know, a cynic might say, well, there's only one answer, and the answer is to overthrow the system. But I don't know, Carl. I wish I had an answer, man. Thanks for checking in.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. This winter, you can take control of your home heating bills with the Eden Pure Quartz Infrared Heater.
I saved about $160 a month using the Eden Pure.
We all know energy prices are only going to go up, so please call us right now. The Eden Pure represents a major opportunity for you to take control of your home heating bills.
It's just a constant warm heat that stays on all the time, and it doesn't go hot and cold, and you save money.
Now you can save up to $102 and have an Eden Pure delivered to your home for only $39. That's right. We'll ship you a brand new model for $39. After that, simply make your four remaining monthly payments while enjoying the soft, even heat from your Eden Pure.
Call 800-603-8924. If you're not completely satisfied, you can return the Eden Pure and receive your money back, and we'll even cover your shipping and handling. Call 800-603-8924. Once again, 800-603-8924 to take control of your heating bills with Eden Pure. Operators are standing by, so call now.
Tap, 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 down, down. Tap, tap, down, down. Tap, tap, team, tap, down. Tap, tap, team, tap, down. Tap, 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 down, down. Tap, tap, down, down. Tip, tip, team, jump, jump.
Tem que tá bonito, tem que dar coragem.
sombra é sonho pirata pulado no lamaçal.
Ten before the hour, thanks to our crew, Sharon Gordy, military affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg, economic affairs, Kate Petrini, education, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, ethics advisors, overseers, Kathy Bay, executive producer and engineer of the program. Marty is driving in New Jersey, listening on XM. Hey, Marty.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Not too bad. I just pulled over. So we could talk.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a chuckle listening to this about you talking about this new basketball league. That's pretty funny. You know what fundamental basketball means?
No, I don't.
It means no dunking.
You can only shoot, huh?
Right. Yeah, you can only shoot threes. It's an all-white basketball league, right?
So, my God.
Everything below the rim.
So it really has a meaning. I didn't know what it meant. No dunking.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means. It's pretty obvious. Oh. I suspect they'll be wearing their short shorts again without risk of embarrassment.
Yeah, and I wonder if they'll take off their white hoods to shoot.
Yeah, really. I can only imagine what the names of these teams are going to be.
Oh, my God.
I shudder to think. Hey, guess where I'm headed?
Minneapolis.
I wish. I'm going to Massachusetts.
Oh yeah, for what?
I'm delivering tires.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm driving a big rig. I've been going up here for the last 3 years every week.
Yeah.
And I have been dreading this.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys I deal with are pretty cool, and we never talk politics or anything. But I'm just so sick in my heart over what's happened here. I mean, Ted Kennedy. I tell you, just. I'm sure he's turning over in his grave. It's really just a sad come to pass.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I certainly feel that the Democratic Party brought about their own defeat in Massachusetts. I'm not going to.
Well, you know what? Everyone's blaming Martha Coakley, and I'm sure that she brought a lot of this on herself by running a lackluster campaign, but, you know, this started long ago. The president, and I still support the president, I'm going to say that. I mean, you know, I worked for the man, I worked to get him elected, and
right.
I'm not ready to turn my back on him.
Sure.
You know.
Sure, absolutely.
And you know, and I'm a good progressive. I still hope that the Democratic Party might get their act together. I'm losing hope, though. I'm sort of losing faith, and they really did bring this about by the simple fact that they can't articulate to the electorate what, you know, what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, they don't stand for anything, Marty. This is the same kind of situation that the Republican Party has right now. Neither party stands for a damn thing. The only thing the Republican Party stands for, two words, tax cuts. And they don't care
They don't care about the damage.
You know what? Yeah, and what's happened is you have both parties now just sort of queuing up for lobbying money, queuing up for corporate payouts. It's legalized bribery, and it's really disgusting. But you know, the Republican Party is so adept; they're so good at simplifying a message and reducing everything down to a soundbite.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare became government takeover of healthcare.
Right.
You know, and Obamacare.
Well, that's easy to do to reduce.
Of course, and it resonates, and it's simple to understand.
Well, I was going to say, it's easy to do if you're willing to take a complex set of ideas and reduce it down to a lie.
Right, of course, but
I can take the theory of relativity, Einstein's theory of relativity. Here it is. 2 + 2 = 4. I mean, it's nonsense, but that's what Republicans do. And then because we live in a country that is so grossly ignorant about politics, about our own history, it's very easy to put these demagogues on the air, which is what corporate America does, mm-hmm. and convince everybody that the theory of relativity is 2 + 2 = 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
of course, and you know I don't know what's worse. I mean, being so dumb that you don't realize how dumb you are. You know,
or
not being nearly as smart as you'd like to be, which is where I find myself. And I wish I had half of Prey 2's intelligence. I feel a lot better about things. He's a smart guy.
Well, you know, I'm sure you've heard the theory. And Marty, we're about out of time. So thanks a lot, man. Drive safe. You've heard the theory. I know you have, or not the theory. You've heard the aphorism that says, where ignorance is bliss, it's folly to be wise. A lot of people just quote the first half and completely garble the meaning of that statement. But where ignorance rules, let's put it that way, where ignorance reigns, where people are just willfully ignorant, it's pointless, useless, folly to have any kind of wisdom about a situation at all. And I think that's the angst that you're feeling. It damn sure is with me. And I think a lot of people who still believe in the country and would like to see all the Republicans, all the conservatives just rapture on out of here or sink into the earth or something. It's just kind of folly to be wise. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. This winter, you can take control of your home heating bills with the Eden Pure Quartz Infrared Heater.
I saved about $160 a month using the Eden Pure.
We all know energy prices are only going to go up, so please call us right now. The Eden Pure represents a major opportunity for you to take control of your home heating bills.
It's just a constant warm heat that stays on all the time, and it doesn't go hot and cold, and you save money.
Now you can save up to $102 and have an Eden Pure delivered to your home for only $39. That's right. We'll ship you a brand new model for $39. After that, simply make your 4 remaining monthly payments while enjoying the soft, even heat from your Eden Pure.
Call 800-603-8924. If you're not completely satisfied, you can return the Eden Pure and receive your money back, and we'll even cover your shipping and handling. Call 800-603-8924. Once again, 800-603-8924 to take control of your heating bills with Eden Pure. Operators are standing by, so call now.
Cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! You remember how, I guess it was Monday night since I played hooky last night. You remember how Monday night Kevin from Brooklyn said, I just can't imagine the voters of Massachusetts will put that wing nut in there or something to that effect. And I said, Kevin, I really, really, really want you to be right and me to be wrong. Well, sorry, Kevin. That really sucked. And among the things that sucked was the fact that Martha Coakley, as Brad Friedman noted, gave up faster than any other human being conceding.